Welcome to the Mindful Surfer podcast with myself, Will Foster, and my co-host, Liam Morgan.
Hello, 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 hello.
How are you?
Mate, triceps and lats is all I can say. We're on, I don't know, maybe the 18th surf in 13.
Day 52.
Day 52 of the Big Brother Surf House.
The Big Surf House. Liam and Will have been surfing non-stop for the last 32 days.
Yeah. And it's kind of strange because you'd assume that when you like fulfill that need,
yeah,
like let's call it, you know, let's say it's sex and an orgasm, you know, you fulfill that
need.
Hey,
here he goes.
Well, it's fine. What's wrong with my sexual analogies? I don't see what's wrong with these.
Surfing is like making love to a beautiful woman.
Oh yeah, do you remember that? Was that the Fast Show?
The Fast Show.
Bring it so back. Good, so yeah. Good.
Nice.
We could do that now if you want. We're going to get in trouble, aren't we?
Carry on.
Carry on.
It's been abundant, hasn't it?
It has.
We're blessed, privileged, and I am praying to the surf gods, wherever they may sit, on which cloud in the sky, to say thank you, because the gratitude as well is high. But you just want to keep going again and again, don't you? That's the thing.
It's been that good. And I think, like I said, going back to the sex, like you get more and you weirdly want more. It's like money. It's like a lot of these things. And I'll be the first to admit about the money one too, like earning a bit more money. Ooh, I want a bit more. And it's weird. It picks up momentum. You wonder if it's authentic and grounded and organic and true, or you wonder if it's sort of like, in a way, you know, the surfing, let's bring it back to what the surfing thing has been. It's just been, we've had a lot and I've never wanted it more still. And yet, you know, we just got out of another banging session and it's like we're doing the show today and I'm already looking at the time thinking, well, the tide's going to be pushing and we got another.
So thanks for listening, everyone.
Thanks for listening. See you later. Bye. Another session in a bit and I'm pumped on it. So yeah. I don't know if it's, what is that?
Well, it's greed.
It's just fucking greed, isn't
pure
it?
And simple.
Unadulterated.
Well, there's two things I think about it. Here I am answering as if I'm the authority on biblical sins, if you like. Is it a sin? Greed is a sin, isn't it? If you look at
it
that way.
I think so, yeah.
But anyway, just rewind a little bit. I think there's two things combined, I reckon. And then in a good way, but it can impact on your normal life. Because surfing is a drug, and a good one at that, as we were speaking to Tom about last week, you know, the kind of the endorphins, the release, the kind of the need to go back for more, the relentless pursuit of the next hit. You end up behaving like an addict because the benefits of it are the instant hit becomes so much, so intense, because you kind of end up walking around in this like zen state if you get abundant waves all the time and they're really good and you're in the ocean for prolonged periods. It sort of takes you to this other place. And there's an addiction element to that, as if you are taking a brilliant new drug that you've discovered that does all of these amazing things for your mind, body and soul. So that's in there. And then what happens with human nature, I guess, and if you're an expert in this, please write in and either correct or support me, is that you want to keep going back for more of that. And then that can turn in from a desire and a kind of a want and a need to sort of fulfill something to being really greedy for it as well.
Mm.
And that hunger sort of starts to build because you've had so much of it and you don't want to put it down. And then what happens is you go from this state, and I relate this exactly to my sort of previous years and years back, that's what that weekend warrior status where I could go for 6 months without surfing, really. And you get a hit and that was it and that was good enough. And now we're going sometimes 6 hours without surfing and still not enough. So it's a human condition, isn't it, to try and grab something that makes you feel good while it's there and then to feel pretty shitty when it's gone. And it's finding those new ways of coping with it and other kind of things to stimulate you, setting aside the real world, like life and work and family, but things that are there to provide some sort of solace or a distraction when it's not there. Especially given that for a lot of guys and girls listening, that we're heading into another shorter, hopefully, lockdown, which might present some restrictions for travel and so on and so forth. It's a blessing and a curse, I think, is what I'm trying to say. All rolled up into one.
All rolled up into one. The duality of the universe is stunning. You take a relationship, for example, and there's so much wonder and joy and love and good times to be had, yeah. And so much fucking challenge as well,
yeah.
You know? And in surfing or in any area of life that provides joy, you obviously have a dark side. This is impossible because it's the shadow. You know, you cast light on something and right behind it, there's a shadow.
Mm.
So you can't ever escape duality. You embrace it, you accept it, you acknowledge it's there. And don't try and fight it and get rid of it and make things perfect. Nothing's perfect in that way. The perfection is the imperfection in that way. I think it's just tuning in with your self-awareness. I think that if things become unhealthy in that addiction front when it comes to your surfing, that's when it's time to check in. And the same with booze, the same with sex even, or pornography, or anything that's addictive, money and possessions. Anything that gets a little bit addictive, if it takes over the balance, it's something that maybe you need to really get some help on. What is that balance? It's an internal barometer, or it's an internal seesaw. It's a weighing scale within that you just know deep down that things are okay. Things are all right. And, you know, there might be a session that you want to squeeze in. Here's an example, right? I think for me, sometimes if I've had a really busy day with clients, let's say I'm feeling tired and I'm feeling reason, not stressed, but just really tired, really worked and all that kind of stuff. If there's that chance to, let's say, drive 45 minutes to one of our secret spots nearby to squeeze half an hour out of that last bit of light to get a surf in or whatever, that is the kind of decision where it's like, well, you know, you've done all that stimulus work in your mind and body throughout the day. You've then got to have a drive, which is still cortisol related, norepinephrine, noradrenaline, all these stress hormones. Driving isn't complete zen. You have to concentrate. And then by the time you finally get to the seat, you know, is that half an hour going to outweigh the fact that you then have to drive back as well? And these are those little imbalances that can start to creep in. And then you get home that night and you have higher sugar cravings, perhaps. You overeat on certain things you shouldn't. This is where things can be a slightly slippery road. I'm just giving you that real hands-on example because, geez, I'm not perfect. And the allure of the sheer escapism of surfing can make me and my ego believe that I can forgo what my body's trying to tell me and just go do it anyway and get away with it. Well, of course I can't. It just so happens that at the moment, the reason why I feel like you and I are very, very blessed at the moment is that because of the coronavirus, things just went so weird.
Mm.
And I've always been a bit weird anyway. I mean, this is your chance to say something if you want, mate.
I'm just going to just nod. Extremely quiet just on nod. That point.
Just nod. But my pretty non-mainstream lifestyle was there already before. And since coronavirus, things went so weird that it allowed me some space and room to be able to go, do I really need to spend money on X, Y, and Z that I used to? If I just got rid of all that, I can't go out, I can't shop, I can't buy clothes, I'm not doing this, I'm not doing that. I don't have to work anywhere near as hard. And I didn't work that hard before anyway, but work nowhere near as hard as I did and just have all this time. We live by the coast here and we're very blessed. So we've just been, it's a real simplification of life. And
But it's massive, isn't it? And, you know, anybody listening to this, we've all been affected by this sort of enforced year, really this kind of this year of control, of fear, of heightened states of anxiety on one side, all of those bad things. But like we're talking about even surfing, the duality of that, there is no just pure bad. There's always a sort of opposite side because we all walk that line as best we can between order and chaos. And in the chaos is the upheaval, the anxiety, the not knowing, the where is the next, you know, for some people, meal coming from. And there are so many people who are desperately, desperately in need of help right now. On the other side, there are people who are kind of benefiting in some way from the lockdown, whether they're the sort of uber rich who are kind of gambling on markets around the world, or whether they're simply people who didn't have the time with their family before that's now being gifted to them. So it's a strange line to walk, this kind of path of uncertainty and fear, but also time to connect where you can with people who are closest to you, even if you can't physically see them. And that's been, you know, as Will's saying, for me too, who was always kind of on the road and work was absolutely, from a travel perspective, in the way of surf or lifestyle, and indeed the most important thing, family, that's been turned on its head. So with the anxiety and the kind of stresses of keeping things rolling along in this time, also comes the joy of actually spending a bit more time and energy with family and a hobby that we are lucky, or a sport we're lucky to sort of have and to be able to embrace. But there's no doubt that that kind of reasons to be fearful thing has come back, isn't it? You know, when I think it was way back at episode 6, we were talking about the first lockdown when we were first sort of forced into that. And all of this, even it came up with Tom last week about people turning on each other and snitching on each other and doing all these things that just really kind of strange kind of vibes that were coming out of the sort of situation we found ourselves in. That's still kind of there. But the other thing that's kind of really built, especially in sort of communities like ours, is you see friendships and communities and support and all of that stuff. So like anything, there is nuance in every situation. And I think we sort of run the risk, even with surfing and as surf fans, here I'm getting serious and deep here, having seen that it's only one way. But actually, there are other bits to consider when you're in the flow state of loving surfing. That's all you do. You know, it can impact on the people around you as well, as we've often talked about on the show. However, it's still, if you're going to get addicted to something, I would wholeheartedly advise you choose surf.
100%. With lifestyle duality, like you were saying, the acceptance and gratitude piece still, for me, is most beautiful mindset evolution that I think I've made, and I can only speak for myself, and this is what inspired me to write my book, that gratitude alongside acceptance at the same time is that sort of appreciation of what duality really means. And wherever you focus your mind is where your energy is, and wherever your energy is how you feel. So if you focus on what's not good about your life and what's not good about your surf, maybe even just your current surf, you're in the water, or not good about how often you get to go in, or about the injuries you're carrying, or whatever that's going on. If your focus is on that, you will be in the resistance. And the resistance is, there's shit outside of my control that I can't control, that I don't like, and I don't want that. And you fight with reality. And then, of course, the healing aspect of acceptance is noticing the fight. That's it. We've talked about this a number of times. You don't have to be a mindfulness guru to be and become more mindful. All you got to do is spot you harming yourself. And in doing so, you're starting to detach from those thoughts, because they're just thoughts in the end. It's when you see that it's just thoughts that could cause you to feel anything other than what you want to feel, you really start to basically understand the secret to life. And that sounds like a big statement, but I'm not saying that because I think that I know the secret to life per se, as in on a physical front. That's silly. It's ridiculous. But on an internal front, it's just thoughts. If you can notice your mind, where it wants to go, and just see the insanity of it and the hilarity of it, and just giggle. I mean, I'd say there's two things I do in a day that's so, so unbelievably regular that nobody knows about. One is I laugh at my own mind out loud about 25 times a day. The insane ridiculousness of it, of how it starts to build these stories, these made up stories about right and wrong. It just makes me laugh. And the second one is I have to catch myself. So when I'm doing life, doing this, doing that, and doing up my leash, if I have a judgmental thought about someone, it has to be about someone, I'll just quickly trip on my leash. And then I say out loud, love. I just say that one word, just go love. And it puts me immediately back in that energetic state of what is true, which is love, unconditional love and peace and silence and observation and all that stuff. And then you're back in the groove. I believe that that energetic aspect is so unbelievably powerful that it can even affect what waves come your way in the surf. And I know that people would think that's obscene that you would start to talk about that. But then if you bring quantum physicists into this, new age quantum physicists, no doubt, but you bring that new appreciation of the research that goes into what we call this one field. And the fact that trees can send messages to each other from the other side of the planet. There's stuff like that that's being proved and becoming harder and harder into the actual proper scientific research. So if you take a good energy into the ocean, you'll probably get good waves.
Always believe that.
Yeah. It's a cool thing, isn't it?
It's on the sort of very edges of our woo-woo sort of topics that we chat about, isn't it? As the Beach Boy said, good vibrations.
Big time.
And those vibrations are real. And they are real things, and the kind of energies going back and forth between everything on the planet. And so I think you can sort of see that happening. It's a phenomenal thing, really, to behold.
Have you felt that?
Yeah, always.
I mean, in the water?
Some days you don't. And I mean, I see it on the other side, that if you go in with a judgmental, bad vibe, sometimes you get hammered by the waves. Or if you go in with a fearful expectation. I think this links into, we're not telling people how to live their lives through this kind of fear-based kind of agenda that sort of is out there. It's all about, there's very little hope being pushed. And I think hope and belief and a good energy is the only defense that we all have at this time against the kind of the prophets of doom. And even if the prophets of doom are right, what's the point sitting back worrying about it? And so it's the same when you go into the sea, and if this doesn't turn you listeners off, is that try it, you know, that if you can take that gratitude and that energy and those positive vibes into the ocean, you can get these little moments where you go from flat to flow in very, very quick time.
Flat to flow. Fucking love that.
There's a bit in the Momentum Generation film, actually, where I think it's probably, forgive me, I think it's Andy Irons' mum. Is that, would that be right?
Yeah.
It's 10 years this week, isn't it, I think, since Andy died.
Yeah.
But I think in the Momentum Generation film, there's a little bit where they paddle out in Barling's flat day and there's nothing really. But in this kind of, in this tribute to a human life that's passed, the ocean throws almost a perfect wave to Andy's mum and to the one of the guys that's surfing with her. All that kind of flow and energy is all connected somewhere. And even if it just gives you hope that that's what happens, then that's a great thing to hang on to,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, completely. It's like Rumi, the famous Sufi poet, who once said, "Believe and behave as if the universe is doing everything in its power to help you." Because you do see people's lives play out and you see these patterns with how they are as a person. They're generally bubbly, positive, focused on the bright sides. Things just seem to work out for them. And when people are the other way around, they tend not to work out for them. And I know that's making things a bit polarized and black and white. And there's a ton, I mean, a mountain of nuance that goes into that. But we've all experienced that in life. We all know people and how they operate. And we can start to see those little clues. Whether anyone, any physicist will actually answer on a concrete level this idea of this one energy, this one field that gets sort of talked about at the moment, about how your energy here right now is connected to the entire universe. And it's just all energy. These ideas that are being put out, you know, whether or not that comes, you know, into sort of more hard science, significant evidence type science, is by the by. What really matters is how you feel and how you feel now. And there's nothing more important than that.
That's right.
Just being present.
Yeah. And in being present, you quieten the voices of fear anyway. Because fear is often in those moments where it's about the future, is it's about an imagined event that hasn't happened. And so your body doesn't really know that's imagined either. So all of the kind of shitty stuff that comes with a real moment of fear, when you're confronted by a lion that looks very hungry and you're about to provide a very nutritious snack for that said lion, your body can't differentiate actually between the two things. So you end up in this weird situation where you're imagining something that's not happening. I do it myself. And then you're literally shitting yourself about that moment, even though it's a figment. It's not there. It's not real. It's perceived. And it's a projection of the worst case scenario often. It's that kind of human negativity bias, isn't it? It's like, shit, what's that noise on the airplane? It's going to crack. You know, it's that kind of vibe. And then it's suddenly insane. You're playing out in your mind the whole thing going down. I know. It's not. It's still flying.
I know.
So it's hard because as humans, we're instinctively lean towards that. Oh my God, it's a sort of self-defense, isn't it? It's like a protective thing. But yeah, it's trying to kind of rewind into that moment where you go, oh, okay, I'm here. I'm all right. Everything's good. This is just me. This is the moment. Then that's where the good stuff is.
Mm-hmm. Hey, hope you're enjoying the show. If you connect with what we do here at The Mindful Surfer, why not share it with your friends? Or go on over to iTunes and leave us a review. Because the more ratings we have, the more likely it is Liam and I can come back week after week and keep building this community of mindful surfers. Now, let's get back to the show. And it's observing the mind, seeing it play out. And when you can watch it and hear it, because for some of you, it might be like a voice that constantly chatters away. With whom? I don't know. Me, myself, and I. It's so funny, isn't it? And then some of you might just do movies. And I learned a lot of this in my teachings over the years. I studied this. Some of you, much more just sound, roughly. We have these different, what we call representational systems inside of our own minds. And so we all interpret and feel and see and hear and smell and do life differently inside the mind. But ultimately, there'll be some kind of activity, is a good word. It's a more broad word. And if you can have there's two things. I think it's the grace and courage to lean into your mind, because that's the thing we tend not to do. We like to go for a surf or have a few pints or eat some sugar or have a quick orgasm or whatever it is. You're always smiling when I say that. But to kind of go away from mind takes a lot of grace and a lot of courage to go the other way. But of course, when you go the other way, you start to really understand what I said earlier. It's just, they're just thoughts. That's it. There's nothing after that that you can say. There's no this. It's just end.
Yeah.
Thoughts. And that's what they are. Nothing more.
So take good energy into this sort of scenario that we find ourselves in. I think
well
that's
said.
The thing.
Well said, man.
We're just going into the ocean again. And COVID, let's call that the ocean. And let's try and take as much good positive energy into it as we can.
The Mindful Surfer segment one. Well, that is segment one, really. Let's be quite honest. Let's start calling the Mindful Surfer corner segment two. Because we got Philosopher's Corner is fucking strong, man. We have segment two. So it's the Mindful Surfer. It's just a couple of minutes just to kind of check in with your breathing and really practice what we preach in the sense of awareness and meditation. So take a breath in through your nose and breathe out. And deep breath in. And breathe out. And deep breath in. And breathe out. Practice a bit of 4-8, it's called. So it's going to be 4 seconds breathing in and 8 seconds breathing out. So breathe in for 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, and then breathe out for 8. 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1. Let's do 2 more breaths. Breathe in for 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, and out for 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1. And then last deep breath in through your nose. 1, 2, 3, 4. And then out for 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3. Just extend that breath. Just really notice the air going out all the way. Well done, guys. Duality humbles me. I've had so much joy in the ocean recently. And in order to enable that to happen, a bit of a biohack from my friend, we discussed this a number of times, is that I fast generally. So I don't eat. So I don't have to digest anything when I'm doing back-to-back sessions, etc. And you run on what are called ketones. Now, this is a very big buzzword at the moment. Mm-hmm. So what are ketones? Ketones are particles of fat. And the energy that subsequently comes from that fat when it gets metabolized into your mitochondria that your brain and body can use for energy, for energetic activity. And that might be the body fat that's just on your own body, which is always good. But it might also be from the fat that you've taken in from coconut, butter, beef fat, you know, avocado, whatever it might be. And I can run on just basically a little bit of fat for most of the day nowadays and feel wonderful too. Feel much better than I ever thought I could. If I'd heard someone talk about this kind of stuff 10 years ago, I'd be like, you're off your fucking trolley. But of course, learning through experience, I can do 4 or 5, 6 hours of surfing, literally just draining out the old, not the old, but just draining out the muscle and liver glycogen that I have stored up in me from the previous night's meal. Now, here's where I'm going with duality. It's been wonderful. And there's this amazing flow of energy and da-da-da-da-da. And aren't I so in control? And I've got life fucking sewn up. No, you fucking haven't. Because you get home and you walk in the kitchen and there's all me feeling so good. I'm full of buzz and full of stoke. And because I've been fasting that long, then you've got the kids. They hit you.
Mm-hmm.
And then my wife doesn't hit me.
She should do.
She should, really. She should hit me more than she does. And then it's this, I get this, talking about duality. The duality is major, major, major joy. Fasting, I feel so good. Well, what comes up? Where's it going to go? It's got to come down. And I get this come down of overwhelm. Oh my God, there's dishes everywhere in the kitchen. Jesus, there's mess. Fuck, take a breath. I'll start walking. And I get this weird half an hour anxiety. Where I'm just trying to sort my shit out because I'm so low now on blood glucose. Okay, yes, great, I've benefited so much. But now here's the duality. Bang, fucking humbled. And this is what I love about the universe because you ain't got your shit sewn up. You're going to get humbled.
Yeah. Shall I tell you what I do?
You get naked.
No, I go
and
home.
And then walk around farting on everyone.
I go home. I smash a family-sized bag of Doritos chili heat waves.
And, you used to.
A long neck of proper job by St. Austell Brewery.
Proper.
And that's a very... No, I used to eat a lot more crisps.
You don't do that anymore.
No, I do. And in my moments of desire just to want to. Sometimes you just got to go for what's good. I mean, we've been burning so much recently, haven't we, on surfs. And our Wednesday night sessions, which sadly are going to come to an end. But it's interesting, yeah, because you can't, on the serious side, it's a bit like having a hangover. Not that I have very many of those these days. But you go, what goes up, as the old saying goes, has got to come down. And it's realizing that that happens. Same as if you feel great, you know that inevitably there's going to be a point when you feel a little bit shitty or bad. and that won't last either. And then you'll feel good again. I was having this conversation with somebody yesterday about exactly this. We do talking a lot, especially in a work environment, how this crisis is affecting people and anxiety. And in some ways, without the low, you wouldn't know what the high is. And sadly, without the highs, you wouldn't recognize the lows. But that's, as we're talking about in the show, this duality of life, of human existence, light and dark. There is no escape from that.
Plays out. Yeah. Plays out beautifully. The segment 3, mind, body, stoke. What have Liam and I been doing with our minds and bodies to feel more stoked? I want to mention something on altruism. So when I was writing my book, I did a lot of research on happiness, because that's what the book was about, and stumbled upon some research done by Harvard University positive psychologists who looked at what is it that happy or happier people are doing. So what is it they're doing that's making them happy? Of course, there's a number of things, and this comes back to gratitude and your mindset, how you take care of your health, because clearly your body affects your mind, and also how you treat your mind. So that's meditation practices and things, and, you know, mind care could also be things like, you know, what kind of work you do, does it put you in the flow state? Etc. We could go on to that if you ever want me to in a show, but there's lots of things that create happiness in someone and well-being. Well-being's a better word. I prefer that word nowadays anyway. It's more of it sums it all up a bit better, I think. And there's a hallmark of a real deep correlation here that they notice between someone's level of well-being is directly related to their ability to be truly happy for someone else's happiness.
Big time.
And it's a really interesting one. I feel like, and my wife has remarked this on me before, she said really early in relationship, she said she found it remarkable how good I felt for someone else's stuff going on. She said, I've not met that in anyone. And I don't know why or how, but I feel like I've always done it. Maybe not so much in my teens, but as I got into my 20s, I just started doing it more and more and more because it was just natural in that way. And maybe it's because I got happier, I don't know. Maybe I've got my wife to thank for that. But it feels not only good, but it feels right to really be stoked and feel stoked for someone else's wave. Because in relation to surfing, it's this thing where if you see a friend literally get barreled in front of you, there's an immense joy in that. Because you know what they're feeling. And this is when it's so cool if you put yourself inside someone else's shoes. Now, it's not easy to do, but it is a skill. You can develop it. It's practice. So you really develop that thing of like, God, I think they just had that and I know what that's like and I want that too. So how can I not feel what they're feeling? So it's almost like you're tuning into how they're feeling. And it's like a sort of happiness empathy in a way. It's so rad. And it just adds to the stoke even more.
Totally, totally. I mean, we're going back. This is not... I mean, I did go to a Catholic school growing up. Not that I wanted to necessarily, but it was all right. But here we go back into the biblical world again. But it's the opposite of having
I fucking love the Bible, by the way, dude. Just keep smashing out the Bible. Good, I love it.
But it's like the end. It's like, you know, we talked about greed at the beginning there. This envy that creeps into people that almost doesn't want them to... they don't want other people to do better than them. But what the hell does that mean anyway? If we all just enjoy the best for each other, I know it seems very idealistic, very utopian, but in surfing particularly, that's where, I mean, even the session we just had, everybody's hooting for each other. And that's when it feels good. And that's when the vibes are good. And that's when the waves get good. It just feels like it all connects, all those dots of positive energy, goodwill. There isn't anybody in there going, oh, he's got more waves than me, or oh, that's not great. Or it's just that pure, unadulterated joy for the moment you're in and the people you're around and you're with. It's that friendship and good vibes, as we've been talking a lot about recently on social as well, as you go, that's the bit that makes everything in life. Friends, family, connections, connectivity, all the stuff that will hopefully keep coming back once all this sort of passes. And you say, there is where, if you can dial in, because it's only human to kind of have those emotions sometimes, where you're not on the path of righteousness or whatever, of course not. Whatever the hell that looks like. But you notice it and you kind of go, okay, there can be a world where in which we're happy for each other, mm-hmm. and where we're able to put somebody else's shoes on and have a little walk around in them. Mm-hmm. Because that's when you see the other side of any situation or argument or wherever it might be and start to develop a real deep understanding. And altruism, a bit like Tom's doing as well from last week's chat, it's a good thing.
It's really cool.
It's good. Good humans.
You can do it on a really simple level of just, you know, even if, I mean, I'm sure you do this already, just by virtue of you listening to the show, I'm sure you're just doing this anyway, but just talking to someone in the supermarket and asking how their day is going. These little things, they just make the day run a bit smoother. Having a little whoop and a little holler at your friend's wave and congratulating them on it and whatever, you know, just getting makes the day feel a bit smoother. It's not always easy. I think on a personal level, I sometimes find it difficult to do and be more giving in that energy front when I don't feel great, because it's now become a little bit inauthentic and it maybe makes things worse in some ways, because you're now sort of fighting the flow. You're trying to get it back. But I think the key with that is the awareness of yourself to be like, nah, it's okay to not engage with that supermarket assistant at times, or it's okay to not be so buzzy all the time. I think that's super important to go through that. And especially, I think in relation to surfing, you might be in really busy lineups mm-hmm. every now and then, and your competitive side, you know, really kicks in and you just lose track completely of that whole altruistic, soulful vibe. And what the fuck's wrong with that? Nothing.
It's human.
You just crack on and you want to get your waves and get pumped and get barreled and do flows and fucking just go. And that's epic. And so there's a sort of self-kindness there as well to sort of just be like, you know, it is beneficial to do, but at the same time, be realistic with yourself.
It's very important, actually, because the labels we talk about multiple times. And if you're labeled the happy guy, that can be a burden as well, right? Because everybody expects you to show up with the happy face on, or the, you know, the easygoing face or whatever. And it is impossible to be that thing 100% of the time. If we were, me, you, listeners, all the people that we talk to, we wouldn't be human.
Big time. Dude, do you have anything on Mind Body Soak that you want to share?
Nothing extra. I mean, actually, I think we covered some of it at the beginning, where this sort of overabundance of waves of all different types, because we've had different conditions from the last 2 weeks, from micro to massive, actually, even on our break with this sort of storm that's blown in, has been a real mind kind of test, actually, and a body test. And a lot of the gains, that we've made in the gym together, and the mind gains in the ocean, have really, really helped on, as the conditions change and the crowds you're having to deal with, and all of the stuff that we're talking about on the show seem to come together over the course of the last even 3 or 4 days. Busy lineups, new faces, sharing waves, size, fear, fitness. All of that stuff starts to come together. So I think my kind of message, if you like, and the kind of learnings are, don't give up. It's incremental. At times you can feel like you're not making progress, but actually, eventually you'll get to a point where all of that stuff that you have practiced, you have trained for, you have thought about, you have almost kind of visualized, will come together in the situation. That's kind of, for me, all the three of those things combined. And then from that, the two of those things, the mind and the body, and then from that, the Stoke stuff really kind of goes up. Culminating today in that kind of really super, you know, the conditions were so different over the last few days that you then get that day where everything comes together and the people come together, and whoo, there's the surf nirvana right
there.
Some
of those lefts today were so stunning.
Yeah.
I got my first one coming down the line and I'm drawing out my cutback because I'm just waiting for the bowl. I can see it's just going to throw.
Yeah.
So it's just delay the cutback, and then just quickly turn the nose of the board on my longboard. My single fin sort of old trashy longboard thing, pulling in, and I did pull in, and it was a sick little tube, and then got smashed, landing on my rib, which did not help the sore lat situation. And on that front, God, what the fuck would I do without stretching?
Mm.
In this surfing life that we want to be able to be supple, and we want to be balanced, and we want to have poise and recovery and be able to move well. Surfing takes really good posture. It takes being able to sort of squat deeply, and it takes being able to remain balanced on your toes and your heels. You need a really primed physique to do surfing well. People look at it from the outside in and go, ah, surfing, whatever. You put yourself in that surfing lifestyle and you realize physically the demand is massive.
Functional fitness
as
well.
It's so demanding because it's not like running. Okay, fine. Bang, bang, bang. That's the demand of your cardiovascular system and your anaerobic system. Okay, fine. Great. Surfing demands of your anaerobic and aerobic, as well as your coordination, as well as your timing, as well as your reaction speeds, as well as your fear system in your mind, as well as, you know, psychosocial stuff because of people in the way and da da da. I think that's what makes it the greatest sport in the world, because it's the combination of so many little nuances of challenge that then if you overcome the challenge and get the wave of your life, you know, that is so special. It's the stuff you take to your deathbed.
It is the biggest metaphor for life that you could have.
It's fucking nice.
Which is why, you know, I hope if you're enjoying the show that it's kind of, it's surf and life. And the two things, when you get it right, are just completely intertwined.
We're looking at the time. The tide is coming in.
Ooh.
We're going for another session, maybe. Do you want to mention anything on surf media before we do?
Firstly, talking about being happy for other people and their waves, Andrew Cotton, who's a Devon boy, Nazare, the biggest bomb. And like I always say to when we speak to big wave surfers, looking at the pictures of it gives me the heebie-jeebies. So well done, Cotty, on a massive, massive wave. And just those guys seem like they're having the best time out there. But also not to forget Conor Maguire as well, Irish surfer, who Mully and Mullaghmore surfed an absolute booming, banging, what do you even call that?
Dude.
It's a slab. It's a monster of a wave.
I've got to say, that wave.
Yeah.
Surpassed Koa Rothman.
Yeah.
Do you remember the Koa Rothman chokes one? Because the water's colder.
Yep.
Same severity. Now, I can't say it's more severe than that chokes wave.
Yep.
But if you ever want to check this out, by the way, Koa Rothman, Tiapu, check that out. Type that in. But this was a mutant wave. And fair play to him, he didn't put himself very deep in the barrel. Who the fuck would? That thing was disgusting. Hmm. It was the most outrageous, both ugly and beautiful thing I've ever seen. Hmm. Just the thickness of the lip and how dark.
Unreal.
The water is cold and Ireland's freezing. Fair play to that guy.
What
hero, man. Surf hero, seriously.
I mean, Conor and Garage as well, who surf out there, I admire them so much for them for exactly that. Because we talk about that Instagramification of things, and those guys surfing Pipe and Jaws and that's gnarly as you wouldn't catch me anywhere near it unless I'm in a boat watching with a cold beer in my hand. So that's it.
Me too.
Will would be in there.
Fuck
I'd
no.
be I'd be showing. Go on, Will. Go on.
You just shitting me.
Here's your turn, dude.
The shoe would be on the other foot, and do you know, guess where that foot would be? On the boat with you.
Yeah,
having a beer.
Yeah. But just amazing to see them charging waves that are, because cold water makes it horrific. You know, it's unpleasant. You've got to do all of those things, but also the elements are telling you to get the fuck out of the water. So
epic.
So great to them. And the other thing, and he's coming on the show soon, is Jacob, if you follow him on Prone to Ride, absolutely.
So that's his Instagram handle, is Prone to Ride.
Prone to Ride.
Such a cool guy.
Such a cool guy. You know, if you want inspiration and can-do attitude and just going and getting the best out of life, then follow Jacob as well. And we look forward to talking to him very soon.
Nice one, guys. Thank you so much for coming.
We'll see you next week.
Nice one, guys.
Bye.
See you later.